Welcome to Let's Talk Micro.
Hello, my dear audience. Welcome to another episode of Let's Talk Micro. As always, I hope you had a great week. As usual, you can always find Let's Talk Micro on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, Goodpods, wherever you listen to podcasts, you can find Let's Talk Micro. As far as social media, I am on Instagram, TikTok, Blue Sky Social, and YouTube as Let's Talk Micro, on X as Let's Talk Micro 1, on LinkedIn as Luis Plaza, and I have an email address, which is letstalkmicro@outlook.com. So either via social media or via email, you can reach out with any suggestions, any feedback. They are always welcome and appreciated. So please go ahead and subscribe to the podcast, download episodes, and if the app allows you to do so, please go ahead and leave a review. Thank you so much for the support. And speaking of support, as you know, the Let's Talk Micro podcast does not have any sponsors. So if you want to support the podcast in any way, you can do so via a Venmo link or via Buy Me a Coffee, KOFI, both links available on the show notes. As always, I am so grateful for your support. I really enjoy doing this podcast and I want to grow it more. So if you're a company that you are listening and you would like to support the podcast, please go ahead and contact me at letstalkmicro@gmail.com. I really want to grow it, bring more content, so I think that maybe with a sponsorship, it will help it grow. And as you know, learning about antibiotics can be difficult, so if you are looking to learn more about antibiotics, please check out www.learnantibiotics.com and the Learn Antibiotics book available on Amazon. These resources include cheat sheets, practice tests, games, and more, and they are being used by thousands of people worldwide and may be helpful for you or your colleagues. And these are some great resources from Dr. Timothy Gauthier, a very passionate pharmacist. If you haven't checked out the previous episode, please go ahead and do so. It was a great episode where I had Janet Hindler as a guest. And if you are in the microbiology community, I am sure you know who she is. She started in the lab as a medical lab scientist, and she was, and is, very passionate about microbiology. Her career has been exceptional. I mean, talk about a career and going above and beyond the lab. I mean, she did some work with the CDC. She worked on training programs. She is involved with the CLSI, which is the Clinical Laboratory Standards Institute. I mean, talk about so many things. I mean, probably like a lot of us in microbiology, maybe we spent our whole careers, you know, just working on the bench in the hospital, which is okay, right? You know, it's very important work. It's for the patients. But talk about so many other things, and maybe most of us don't do them. And here we have a person that started working on the bench and then decided to get involved in more things. So for me, it is such an inspiration. Because if you are listening to this, you know that I'm doing something a little bit more beyond the bench. You know, I really wanted to share information. I really wanted to learn more and connect with people. And I'm doing this, you know, I'm doing so with this podcast. You know, sometimes we are working on the bench and we are thinking about doing something different, but we don't know how to proceed. And that brings to mind an episode that I did, you know, where Duane Newton was a guest. You know, he talked about, you know, navigating your path. And that came to mind because sometimes, you know, when we think we can do more, perhaps, and this is something that Duane said, you know, it is not in terms of less or more, but actually different. So maybe you want to do something different and you don't know how to proceed. You know, this is something that is very real. And in the episode, Janet also talks about the value of networking. And I can really attest to this because I have, with this podcast, you know, I have networked so much and there's some great value in that. I mean, so Janet talks about go to meetings, go to professional meetings, meet people. If you have a question about something, if something looks interesting to you, reach out to that person. That's what I do with this podcast. You know, I read an article, I listen to a talk, and I find it interesting, and I reach out to the person. Bottom line, something to take from this is that don't feel that it is impossible to achieve something. So take me for example, years ago I was working in the lab and my main goal was to learn the benches, right? To get really good at working up cultures. And I felt the need to do something different. I felt like I could make a larger contribution to the field and I wasn't sure how to do it and maybe I explored the area of being a supervisor. And then with that desire, eventually, you know, this podcast was born, which is something that I really love, as I said many times. So here I am years later with a podcast and a master's degree. All this time I've been working on the bench still. So definitely check out this episode if you haven't already. And as I said this, you know, it came to mind that in one of my feedback, you know, I submitted a survey, and one of them was that I used the word definitely too much. So I'll try to scale it back, but check out the episode if you haven't already. Okay, so let's go ahead and move on to today's episode, and it is me talking about an organism. So I know some of you really like that, and I will try to do more. But the episodes with guests, you know, they're such a great way to learn so many things, you know, work, explore so many areas, so I really enjoy those as well. But today I am talking about an organism. And the last time I did that, I talked about Pasteurella. As you remember, Kelly Maddock was a guest on the podcast for the second time, and she talked about the capsular types of Pasteurella. And then I followed with an episode where I talked about Pasteurella, you know, media, biochemicals. And since that was a fastidious gram-negative run, I thought I will continue down that line. So when we talk about fastidious gram-negative runs, you know, fastidious organisms, they might require extra nutrients to grow, and they do not grow well on all routine media. For example, and this you know from the Pasteurella episode, with some minor exceptions, Pasteurella does not grow on McConkie agar. Pasteurella aerogenes, which we see on pigs, it grows on McConkie, but in the laboratory, we will typically see more of Pasteurella multocida or Pasteurella canis. And those two do not grow on McConkie. So another example of a gram-negative run that does not grow on McConkie is Eichenella. It grows on blood and chocolate. And that is what today's episode is about, Eichenella. And like we do in Let's Talk Micro, let's break it down. From media, biochemicals, and morphology to that famous bleach smell that we are accustomed to. Okay, so what do you know about Eichenella? Well, you know that it is a gram-negative rod, right? And I mentioned the media that it grows and the media that it does not grow. I also mentioned the smell of bleach. Now, is this a pathogen or commensal organism? So let's talk about Eichenella. And something to keep in mind as I'm going over this episode is that Eichenella corotens, it's a species that you encountered in the lab, and it was the sole species of the genus for a long time. And in recent years, some other species have been discovered. So, however, there's not a lot of information on those. So, from the clinical point of view, I will be talking about Eichenella corotens. And throughout the episode, I will be using the term Eichenella or sometimes Eichenella corotens interchangeably. So keep that in mind. When I say Eichenella, I am referring to Eichenella corotens. According to the Manual of Clinical Microbiology, some new species have been discovered, which are Eichenella exigua, Eichenella glucosivorans, Eichenella heliae, and Eichenella longigua. And my apologies if I am butchering those, but those are the ones that have been discovered. And I haven't really looked into those novel species, you know, like in detail, but from what I was reading as I was prepping for this episode, one of them is saccharolytic, so it utilizes carbohydrates, which is something that we'll talk about as I go over Eichenella corotens. So Eichenella is part of the microbiota of the human oral cavity. It is commonly isolated in mixed infections from human bites or clenched fist wounds. It is also associated with periodontitis. And before I go on, I'd like to share with you, and I have mentioned this before and I mentioned it to my students, but when it comes to Eichenella, and now that we are talking about human bites, right? And I remember one time in the lab where I was working a sample, you know, it was a wound culture, and it was, I think it was from like a toddler. And it was a bite to the forehead. And Eichenella was recovered. And also like a, I think it was like a Haemophilus parainfluenza. So it makes you think that maybe one sibling bit the other, which is very common, right? With little kids, you know, sometimes they bite. And you see the sample with some respiratory flora. And the other thing that I want to mention is maybe those of you that are listening and you like forensic files, I remember years ago watching an episode where a person was unfortunately assaulted, and one thing the victim did was this person bit the assailant. And then after a while, there's a report of someone that goes to the hospital with a bite wound, and they did a culture, and then Iaconella was recovered. And one of the things they did was, you know, they matched the bite marks. But it was kind of interesting seeing, right, how that happens. You know, the victim bit the assailant, and then Iaconella was recovered. So as a micro nerd, I just found this interesting. Okay, so let's go ahead and continue with the episode. Besides periodontitis and human bites, it has been associated and recovered from infections such as osteomyelitis, upper respiratory infections, joint infections, and endocarditis. Typically in these infections, it grows with the members of the respiratory flora, such as staph or strep. So when you recover this organism, you typically have also like staph growing or strep growing. Risk factors for this organism are diabetes, dental manipulations, and intravenous drug use. And if you are thinking about this, you can probably, you know, dental manipulations, you know, they make sense, right? Because it's like an oral organism, you know, it's part of the oral flora. But how does IV drug use or diabetes, how is this a risk factor? And the answer to that is that for diabetes, it has to do with puncturing the skin, for glucose testing. And how about for IV drug users? Well, for that, it is due to the licking of the injection site. Very interesting, right? By licking the injection site, you are introducing respiratory organisms, you know, organisms that are part of your oral flora. So, very interesting. Those of you that are listening, as you are listening to this episode, I know you heard, right, endocarditis, and maybe something comes to mind. So we're going to take a minute and talk about that. Does endocarditis makes you think of something as we are talking about Iaconella and we think of the letter E, right? Well, there is a group of organisms that are known to cause endocarditis. And keep in mind, and I tell my students this, they are not the only ones that cause endocarditis, but these organisms, they are known for this. And this group has an acronym known as HACCP. So let's go ahead and talk about the letters and see which species they belong to. So the H is for Haemophilus, particularly Haemophilus parainfluenza, which is a common causative agent in endocarditis. The A is for Agrigentibacter. And there are two species, Agrigentibacter aphrophilus and Agrigentibacter actinomycetum comitans. And you know what? Let's go ahead and say this one more time. Agrigentibacter actinomycetum comitans. The C is for Cardiobacterium. The E is for Iaconella. And the K is for Kingella. And you might have seen those in the lab, but you have, you know, the Cardiobacterium, you have Cardiobacterium hominis. You know, I'm talking about Iaconella corotans. And for the K, you have Kingella kingae. All members of the HACCP group are part of the oral flora. And we'll talk more about the other members at a later time. But let's go ahead and keep the focus on Iaconella. The gram stain, as mentioned, is gram-negative rods, and they are described as slender. This means that they are unmistakably gram-negative rods. And you know where I'm going with this. When we think about other fastidious gram-negative rods and we think about Haemophilus and Pasteurella, you get these coccobacillary forms that sometimes they give you a very hard time because you cannot tell, is this a cocci, is this a rod, and maybe you see some tiny rods, but you see all these tiny round things and you get confused, especially when you're learning, when you're like a new tech. But that is not the case with Iaconella. You see it and they are full-on gram-negative rods. As far as media, it grows well on blood and chocolate, but the colonies are small, and even at 48 hours, they are not as large as other colonies. And this is something good to keep in mind, because when you think about Enterobacterales and Pseudomonas aeruginosa, like, you know, you subculture a colony, and in a good 15 hours, you know, you have some very healthy, robust growth, and that is not the case with Iaconella. A lot of times when you are trying to isolate it, you know, it is mixed with other organisms. So you grab that colony and then, you know, the very small colony, you swab it to a blood, like a blood agar plate. And then, you know, it grows slower. So then you don't know if it's mixed or if it's pure. So that might delay testing a little bit. Especially is those of you that work in the lab, sometimes you know that we work in a culture and then we try to isolate something and we subculture it at 3 p.m., let's say, towards the end of the day. And then someone comes in at 6 a.m. and takes out the plates the next day. Well, you know, at 6 a.m., that organism is not going to be fully grown yet. One thing that is mentioned in textbooks is that Eichenella requires heming to grow, unless it is incubated at 5 to 10% CO2. And this is something that, you know, in the lab, cultures where these organisms, where they are typically isolated from, are placed in CO2 incubators. For example, blood cultures, respiratory cultures, and wound cultures, all of those, they go in CO2 incubators. And that is very constant across labs. You might go to some labs where maybe the urine cultures are put in non-CO2, and you might go to other labs where everything is in CO2. But these cultures where you might get Eichenella from are placed in CO2 incubators. When it comes to liquid media, it might have limited growth. And when we talk about liquid media, you think about things like BHI, which is brain heart infusion. We think about thioglycolate broth. So with those, you might have some limited growth. As far as the colonies, they are small and they have clear centers. And the colonies, they may pit or corrode the agar. Older colonies might have a yellow color. And as I mentioned, though we should never smell plates, you know, actively go in and smell plates, some organisms, you know, they do emit an odor. Like, as you know, Streptococcus anginosus, you know, you get that butterscotch, you know, Pseudomonas, you get that, what the textbooks call grape. But I don't really think that it is like that. You know, it's more like a fruity odor. Not tortilla chips. I know some of you out there think that it is tortilla chips. Huh. I'm just kidding, of course. I know that a lot of you think that Pseudomonas smells like tortilla chips. And that is okay. Well, in the case of Eichenella, the smell is bleach. And I have to say that that really helps, because sometimes you are reading these cultures and maybe you see on the initial gram stain, you see gram-negative rods and you cannot find them in the culture. But then the smell of bleach hits you and maybe you look a little bit closer. And this is something that might happen when you have cultures that are like, you know, like soft tissue cultures, like just those wound cultures. Because the respiratory cultures, you know, they tend to be a little bit messy and you look at the chocolate and you immediately see, like, let's say, you know, you see Haemophilus or something like that. But maybe with these wound cultures, sometimes it might be a little bit difficult. Like you have, let's say you have like a lot of staph growing, a lot of strep, and you see that the tag, so gram-negative ruts in the initial smear, but then that bleach smell makes you look closer. So when you are reading cultures and you see that gram-negative ruts were found on the initial smear and you are not seeing them in the culture, take a closer look because the colonies are small and maybe pay attention to that bleach smell, but don't go smelling plates. So take a closer look at your culture and maybe look for those smaller colonies. Okay, so let's go ahead and talk about biochemicals. As far as biochemicals, and I mentioned something early in the episode, Eichenella corrodens is a saccharolytic. That means that it does not utilize carbohydrates, which, as you know, carbohydrate utilization is something that is big, you know, used in identification of organisms. As you know, with the Enterobacterales, you know, that they ferment glucose, some ferment lactose, and then you use tests like the triple sugar iron test to identify these organisms. But Eichenella does not utilize carbohydrates, and that is Eichenella corrodens. As I mentioned earlier, I think one of these novel species there, they can actually utilize carbohydrates. Okay, so as far as other biochemicals, it is oxidase positive, indole negative, and catalase negative. It reduces nitrate to nitrite. It hydrolyzes ornithine and lysine. So how do we identify it? Well, as I was looking through some of the textbooks, and maybe you don't do this because we have things like Vitek and Molitov, but a positive ornithine decarboxylase test and lack of acidification can be used to identify it. And then MolDiTof MS also identifies it, and there's a card for the Vitek systems, which is for the Vitek 2 systems, the NH card, that also identifies it. But keep in mind that when you're doing MolDiTof, you only need like a few colonies, but if you're using this NH card, you need a very heavy McFarlane, which starts at 2.7. So that means that you need a full plate, basically, because these colonies are small. And depending on how mixed was the initial culture, then maybe you were only able to grab one or two colonies to sub out your organism. Then the next day it takes longer to grow, and it might not be ready. Well, you know, maybe you don't know if it's pure or not, so you might have to wait another day and then set up the NH card, and that takes another day. So as you know, all in micro is about time, so keep that in mind when you're using the Vitek system, but it is an option, and so is MolDiTof. And there are some nucleic acid methods, but those are not available in the United States. Okay, so let's go ahead and briefly touch on susceptibilities. And as usual, I'd like to refer you to the CLSI, Clinical Laboratory Standards Institute, specifically the M45 for Eichenella. And as you know, the CLSI has a lot of information on what type of media to use for susceptibilities. It gives you information on quality control. It gives you information on intrinsic resistance, on incubation temperatures. It indicates, you know, it gives you suggestions for testing of antimicrobials. And when it comes to antimicrobials, Eichenella coroides is typically susceptible to ampicillin, amoxicillin, clavulanic acid, piperacillin, tazobactam, meropenem, and ceftriaxone. And from the CLSI M45, the recommendations for primary testing are ampicillin, amoxicillin, clavulanic acid, ceftriaxone, ciprofloxacin or levofloxacin, imipenem, penicillin, and trimethoprim sulfamethoxazole, which as we know as SXT. And I mentioned ceftriaxone, but also cefotaxime is recommended as well. And when it comes to this organism, you have breakpoints for minimal inhibitory concentrations. So for this organism, there are no dis-diffusion breakpoints. And for the benefit of everyone, because I've been saying CLSI, M45, as you know, I typically refer to the CLSI M100, and that's the main document that has a lot of information on some of the organisms that you commonly see in the lab, such as, you know, your staph, your strep, enterococcus, enterobacterales, non-fermenters, anaerobes, and the CLSI M45 has information on fastidious organisms and other organisms like Micrococcus, Lactobacillus, Carinobacterium, and both of these, you can find them online. They should be in your lab, but you can definitely use your search engine and look for free CLSI, and you can find both of these documents free online. Okay, so let's go ahead and recap. Eichenella coroides, which was the sole species for a long time, now there are some novel species that have been discovered. But in the episode I am talking about Eichenella coroides, it is a non-modal, facultatively anaerobic, gram-negative rod. It is oxidase positive, indole negative, and it is part of the human oral flora. And it is seen in wound infections such as bites, also periodontitis, and other infections. It grows well on blood and chocolate, not on McConkey. The colonies are small, even at 48 hours. It has a bleach odor to it. And it is part of a group of organisms that are known for causing endocarditis, which is the HACCP group, and that's the acronym. So Eichenella is the E on HACCP. And at some other point in time, I'll be going over the other members of the HACCP group. And that, my dear audience, it's the end of this episode. I hope you enjoy learning about Eichenella corotens. As always, I enjoy sharing this information with you. As always, I am so grateful for your support. Stay tuned. Great things coming your way. But please don't forget, continue bringing that passion to what you do. It's so important you do such great work. So, of course, as always, stay motivated, stay safe, and of course, continue talking micro. Until the next time. Bye.